I expect there's nothing I'm going to say tonight that will be at all new to anybody, perhaps except the young Democrats and a few others who were not around and have not the same familiarity with the early days of pre-statehood and then statehood. Now, according to the rules for the Statuary Hall in the United States Capitol in Washington, each state of the Union is invited to place two statues of their most significant citizens. And the two statues that our state has selected to put in the United States Capitol are those of Edward Lewis Bartlett. Of course, we know him as Bob, because when he was a little kid, his sister couldn't say Edward Lewis, so she called him Bob, and it stuck his whole life, E.L. Bob Bartlett. And the other statue is of Ernest Henry Greening. We have been extraordinarily blessed to have these two gentlemen help guide us into statehood, help advocate for statehood, and then to serve as our United States senators for the 8 to 10 years following statehood. Both Bartlett and Greening were essential to the struggle to gain statehood for our territory. Both had a distinguished record of serving Alaskans, in different capacities, though, prior to statehood. Both were passionate and effective advocates for Alaska statehood, both as active and contributing members of the Democratic Party in Alaska, fought for social and economic justice at home and abroad, and in November of 1958, both of them were elected to serve as Alaska's United States Senators when the state became proclaimed on January 3rd, 1959. They were our two guys. They were our senators. In spite of all these commonalities, however, they had some differences. Consider this. Senator Greening was the son of a renowned New York physician. He was born on February 6, 1887. Bartlett, on the other hand, was the son of a Klondike gold miner. He was born in Seattle 17 years later, in 1904, I believe it was, and he returned to his parents' home in Fairbanks as a young child. Greening grew up in New York, attended Harvard University. He graduated in 1907. Trying to please his physician father, he then went on to Harvard Medical School, and he graduated from that institution in 1912. Bartlett, on the other hand, was graduated from the University of Alaska in 1927. Following that, he began a career in journalism for the Fairbanks Daily News, where he labored until 1933, when he was selected to serve as secretary to our territorial delegate at the time, Anthony Diamond. Well, after having achieved his medical degree, Greening changed his direction and pursued journalism in both Boston and New York. After service in World War I, he held the position of editor of The Nation magazine, a weekly liberal news magazine founded in the 1860s and still published today. Subsequently, and I would say if you've edited The Nation magazine, almost inevitably, he got involved in politics. Serving under the Roosevelt administration as a delegate to the 1933 Inter-American Conference, and he was then named director of the Division of Territories and Island Possessions during the period 1934 to 1939. In 1939, FDR, I guess he couldn't figure out what to do with him, so he appointed him as governor of the territory of Alaska. At the time, it was fairly evident that World War II was rolling toward us, and I think that Roosevelt felt confident that Greening had the background and the understanding and the education and the interest in becoming somebody who could keep a steady hand on Alaska while it was basically turned into an aircraft carrier and a military base in preparation for the World War that followed. Bartlett, in the meantime, remained active in public life until in 1939, FDR appointed him to be the Secretary of State of the Territory. And in that capacity, he served as what is, in today's parlance, essentially the Lieutenant Governor of the Territory. In 1945, Bartlett achieved his main goal, which was serving as a territorial delegate to the Congress. And in that capacity, he could go to the Congress meetings, he could introduce bills on behalf of Alaska, although he was not a member and couldn't vote on them. And because of that, he was a hell of a nice guy. He didn't have much to trade with when he was in the Senate as a delegate, but he just convinced people slowly through applying the principles of Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. The two had different personalities. As I mentioned, Bartlett was Mr. Nice Guy. As a Fairbanks reporter wrote one time, Bartlett is Mr. Nice Guy in a whole sea of SOBs. Now, Greening, on the other hand, was reportedly, I don't know him that well, but he was reportedly more intellectual, occasionally challenging, and not infrequently acerbic in his dealings with people with whom he was discussing matters of great importance. But they both agreed on one major thing, and that was the imperative of Alaska statehood. In 1956, when the people approved the Constitution that had been devised in Fairbanks under the tutelage, under the leadership of Governor Bill Egan, they decided to engage in what's called the Tennessee Plan, which was a way of getting the attention of Congress by electing people to send them down there. Well, Bartlett was still delegate, which is a position provided for by the statutes that govern territories. So the people voted as senators, Senator Greening and Senator Egan. In 1958, Congress, in its wisdom, voted to allow Alaska to enter the Union. And that fall, in November, we elected a whole suite of state leaders, including Bill Egan as governor, including Bob Bartlett as permanent U.S. senator, and Ernest Greening as permanent U.S. senator. It was interesting to note, when you look back on some of the data, something that I had really forgotten was that Bartlett won in an overwhelming landslide. It was like 80-20, something like that. And Greening won a much closer race, which was like 25,000 to 20,000 in those numbers. Notice that there's 45,000 statewide votes. Ah, the good old days, huh? Senator Greening served in the U.S. Senate with distinction as a tireless advocate for Alaska and for democratic and progressive causes. Perhaps his most memorable act as a U.S. senator, in addition to his advocacy for large construction projects, including the Rampart Canyon Dam on the Yukon. But the most memorable thing I think that he is known for today is voting in 1964 against the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. That happened. Well, I was very proud of that because the Gulf of Tonkin allegedly occurred the day that I got out of basic training in the Army. So I ended up going to Europe. But I appreciated his vote nonetheless. But it's arguably the reason that he got beat. In 1968, in the primary, he was beaten by Mike Gravel, who went on to serve for a while, and two terms, actually. And at the end of his second term, he in turn was beat by Greening's grandson, who then failed to prevail in election with Frank Murkowski, and ever since there's been a Murkowski in the U.S. Senate. Bartlett, on the other hand, had probably what the Library of Congress alleges, probably one of the most productive legislative records of anybody in congressional history. As a delegate, he could introduce bills. Several of the ones that he introduced are important to Alaskans still today, including, for instance, the 1956 Mental Health Reorganization Act, when we started bringing our mentally ill Alaskans home and started treating them with some degree of dignity, and which led eventually to the Mental Health Lands Trust being established and the whole recent record. That was Bartlett who had the foresight to do that work. When Bartlett's career ended, he was still in office. On December 11th, 1968, he died during open-heart surgical procedures. He was in the Cleveland Clinic, and he did not recover. He was then replaced when Governor Hickel, who was governor at the time, appointed Ted Stevens.